Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. At this time, we would like to welcome everyone to RD People Health and Wellbeing conference call to discuss its first quarter 2017 results. The audio for this conference is being broadcast simultaneously through the internet in the website www.rd.com.br/ir. In that address, you can also find the slideshow presentation available for download. We inform that all participants will only be able to listen to the conference during the company's presentation. After the company's remarks are over, there will be a Q&A period. At the time, further instructions will be given. Should any participant need assistance during this conference, please press star zero for an operator. Before proceeding, let me mention that forward-looking statements are being made under the Safe Harbor of Securities Litigation Reform Act of 1996. Forward-looking statements are based on the beliefs and assumptions of RD management and on information currently available to the company. Forward-looking statements are not guarantees of performance. They involve risks, uncertainties, and assumptions because they relate to future events and therefore depend on circumstances that may or may not occur in the future. Investors should understand that general economic conditions, industry conditions, and other operating factors could also affect the future results of RD and could cause results to differ materially from those expressed in such forward-looking statements. Today with us are Mr. Marcílio Pousada, CEO, Mr. Eugênio de Zagottis, Investor Relations and Corporate Planning Vice President, and Gabriel Rosenberg, IR and Corporate Planning Director. Now, I'll turn the conference over to Mr. Marcílio Pousada. Sir, you may begin your conference.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the presentation of the first quarter 2017 of RD. As always, Eugênio will present the slide of the result, and before the Q&A, I will be stressing points about our future and about the results also. Eugênio, please.
Hello, everybody. Thank you all for attending our first conference call. This is the first earnings release we do as RD People Health and Wellbeing. We're very proud to present a strong set of numbers. This was a quarter of very good growth coupled with very tight expense management, which translated in good margin improvement. We ended the quarter with 1,457 stores. We opened 42 stores and closed five stores in the quarter. Our revenues reached 3.2 billion, 21.6% of growth, with same-store sales growth of 10.5%. Our margin reached 28.7%. This was flat versus the 1Q 2016, and we reached an adjusted EBITDA of 244 million, 7.6% of EBITDA margin and 30 basis points margin expansion. Our adjusted net income reached 105 million, 3.3%, and the cash flow was 173 million negative free cash flow and 163 million negative total cash flow. Finally, we issued in April, so it was outside of the quarter, 300 million in debentures. The close was on April 12. Our company was rated AAA by Fitch, and the debenture had terms of five years with an interest rate of 104.75% of the interbank exchange rate. Finally, we announced also on April 12 the change of our corporate name. We're now named RD People Health and Wellbeing, reflecting the identity that emerged since our merger. On page four, we can talk more about our expansion program. We opened 42 stores in the quarter, and this is very good numbers, slightly higher than last quarter. The first quarter 2016 when we opened 39 stores. We keep on opening stores in a very paced way through the year, and we also closed five stores in the quarter. These were all mature stores that have been relocated with positive return expectations associated to them. When we look at our store portfolio, 35.4% of the stores are still under maturation. This is the greenest portfolio since the second quarter 13. Page 5, we talk about the geographic positioning. Of the 1,457 stores, 760 were Drogasil, 694 were Raya. We reached a total of 838 stores in the state of Sao Paulo alone, more than 100 stores in Rio, and more than 100 stores in the Northeast, a market we have been developing in the last four years. Our market share growth was very relevant. We reached 12.6% national comparable market share, with growth in every market where we compete. In Sao Paulo, we reached 24.9% of market share, and in the Northeast, we reached 5.7% of market share. So this is another strong performance here. Page 6, of our consolidated growth of 21.6% in the quarter, 20.4% happened in our retail business, and 66.6% happened in for bio. So very strong growth again. In terms of our product mix, I think there's a big highlight here of pharmaceuticals, everything pharmaceuticals, at the expense of hygiene personal care. Generics was the key category here for us, growing 25.4%. Branded 24, OTC 21%, and the most challenging category here was hygiene personal care, in which we grew only 12%. I think we have here a combination of factors. First is we had in the first quarter last year a huge peak of HPC driven by the Zika virus. So we have here a very strong comp for HPC. This is one of the factors, but not the only one. The reality is that we haven't done well in entry-level categories here in HPC, in basic categories. The good news is in our core categories like skincare, like makeup, like hair care, we have done really well. But in entry-level categories like, for example, feminine hygiene, like soap and things like that, we are affected by the market, which is not performing well, and also by supermarkets who have been very aggressive on prices. Over the last 20 years, I think we gained share of supermarkets pretty much every single year. But this year, because of the crisis, they're very aggressive, and we have to choose our battles here. So we focus on our core categories, and it comes at the expense of other categories that are not as important for us. Page 7, of the 21.6% of total growth, 10.5% was due to same-store sales growth, and 6.1% was due to mature-store sales growth. Our gross margin remained flat versus first Q16. We gained 20 bps based on the net present value adjustment. Last year in the first quarter, we had started our floor buying much earlier, because of a 12% price increase, we were concerned about our ability to buy. This year, with 3% price increase, that's not an issue. So we built up the inventories in the end of the quarter. So this means that we have longer accounts payable now than we had in the first quarter last year. So this we were lower. So this generated a gain in NPV adjustment. Our regular margin also grew 10 bps, but we lost 30 bps for bio. Due, first of all, with the negative margin mix, for bio is growing more and has lower gross margin, and in this quarter, the gross margin was not particularly good. In terms of cash cycle, we maintain exactly the same number of last year. Expenses, and as I mentioned in the opening, this was really the highlight of the quarter. We achieved 30 bps of total expense dilution. G&A remained flat, but sales expenses, which is traditionally our toughest line, was the highlight of the quarter. So we got 30 bps of dilution. In personnel, we achieved 10 bps dilution. In electricity, which is another 10 basis points dilution. We are no longer in high tariff levels that we were last year. 4Bio helped, also 10 basis points. Pre-operation expenses, we had 20 basis points dilution, and this is really a good performance here because we opened a similar number of stores for 1Q this year versus 1Q last year. So this is efficiency. But rentals pressured 20 basis points. And what's happening here is that over the last 12 months, the GPM has grown 150 basis points ahead of the CPI. And most of our contracts are IGPM linked. So now the IGPM is at a much lower level, but we need several months of adjustments for these new levels to make a difference in our base. So we believe the 20 basis points pre-pressure is the worst we'll see over the year. And there's a chance that in the second quarter we could even be flat. But right now it's a pressure, and most likely it will remain a pressure in the second quarter. But all the other expenses they have helped. As a consequence, our EBITDA increased by 30 basis points, which was all due to selling expense dilution. If we consider the 1,415 stores that Raia Drogasil had by the end of December, and we fully attribute to these stores all the G&A and all the logistic expenses, we're talking of 3.2 billion in gross revenues, only these stores, but 244 million EBITDA. So we have our EBITDA margin would have been 8%. If we ignore the stores open during the year. Raia Drogasil had the EBITDA margin in the retail side of 7.8%, and Fogu had an EBITDA margin of 2%. Adjusted net income went down by 10 basis points. So what happens is that out of the EBITDA margin gain, we had 20 basis points of net present value adjustment, and the NPV adjustment helps on the margin, but then it's subtracted again at the interest level. So that's why we don't see the EBITDA margin reflected in the net income margin. We also booked $2 million in non-recurring expenses. This is actually the net effect of many different components here. We had adjustment in labor contingencies. We changed our loss estimates related to pre-existing claims following recent negative trends. So this is 12 million, and all these claims were pre-2017. We also had a gain of 13.1 million related to the timing of booking trade allowances. We have specific allowances that we used to book with a 1 month delay, and due to improved controls, now we can launch during the same month. So, There's this one-time gain by changing the regime here. And finally, we have a retirement compensation of a C-level executive that retired in the first quarter. In terms of free cash flow, we had a free cash flow of negative 173 million and total cash flow negative 163 million, both similar to last year. Obviously, when we're comparing any quarter to the fourth quarter, like here, it's always a disadvantageous comparison because the fourth quarter is the best seasonal quarter in terms of cash cycle. So any other quarter compared to that will suffer like here. Next page 13, we see that our share has performed very well. When you look longer term, not as well recently until the end of the quarter, but when you look longer term, since the IPO of Drogasil, and we're talking a 10-year period, we have seen 950% price appreciation. The average annual shareholder return for those who invested in Drogasil's IPO is 27%, and for those who invested in high IPO 6 years ago, 31.5%. To conclude my part of the presentation, I'd like to discuss some of our capital market highlights. The main highlight is the debentures we have just issued. So for the first time, we now have a rating from a rating agency, and Fitch rated us AAA due to a strong balance sheet, cash generation, and financial discipline. We issued simple, unsecured, non-convertible debentures, which were placed through restrictive efforts. And the total issuance was 300 million. It was the closing on April 12th. This is a five-year term debenture. We pay both principal amortization and interest on a biannual basis, but we have a one-year grace period for the principal. We had a firm commitment by Itaú of 107.5% of the CDI, and we had a very successful building, which reduces interest rate to 104.75. I think we probably have the cheapest corporate debt in Brazil outside of the financial sector. I think I'm not mistaken. And then we have here the dates for our next earnings and new leases. Second quarter, the release will happen on July 27. Third quarter, October 26. And then we have a bunch of investor conferences scheduled. Marcin and I will be in New York at the Itaú conference, May 17 to 18. I'll be at the Merrill Lynch conference in Los Angeles, the Call Gems, June 6 to June 8. Then we have two conferences in Brazil, Citi, June 28 and 29, Santander, August 15, 17. And finally, September 11, 13, will be in London for the Morgan Stanley conference. So with this, I pass to Marcelo so that I can talk about the quarter and about brand and identity.
Okay, thank you, Eugenio. But just before the future, I would like to talk about the quarter. We talked last year in all the calls that we used that maybe 2017 will be a very tough year, okay? And we know why it's a tough year, because last year we had a very, very strong year for us. Then for this first quarter, we are very proud about the business, about the results, because we diluted expenses, and know this is very important for the future of this year. You know, it's very difficult to do this in retail. Let's go to talk about the future. The next slide, okay? Before I go to the future, I'm going to talk about our company, okay? Remember you that you are coming from two big companies which over 100 years of history. The merger, when you do this merger 5 years ago, we are the concern to preserve all the good things of the two original companies and eliminate that we had of bad and change the other business. After 5 years to work in integration and try to do this the best, we know what's good for our company and we know what's efficient for our business. Then we start to understand better what's good for your future, what's good for our future for the company, okay? Then you have the first insight in the next slide, will be the more belief. Our belief is people take care of people. In the pharmaceutical industry, retail pharmaceutical industry, the corner is very, very important. The corner is the place that we make the business and you have to make a relationship with the customers. If you look at all the other retail business, all the other retail business will be self-service, not our business. Then we know people is important for our business. We love people, we understand better people, we know how people is important for the business. And you have to work to training, to prepare the people. Then we know how important to take care of the people in your business. Then we extend our purpose. Our purpose is taking close care of people's health and well-being during all times of their lives. In this stage, we have two important phrases here. Taking close care. Taking close care is much more than the only close care. We are much better take care of the business because we know how important to understand the customer needs, how important to transmit confidence with our customers and put all things together to help the customer. Then you use your NPS score, the attendometer, to understand better the customer and taking close care with the customers. The second point is during all times of our lives. Okay, you have to take care of business for the first and then they get older. Have to take care of the business, the customers, not only to buy simple pharmaceutical items. and take care of the customer when they need to buy special drugs, for example. Then we bought for buyer also. This purpose also helps us to define our business strategy. We are only in the business with health and well-being business, not in the business of sell Coca-Cola and French fries and all things. We are looking just for health and well-being items. Let's go to our values. We identified five different values that is working with this company for 100 years. Since the beginning of the startup of this company 100 years ago. The number one value is efficiency. Doing well is the most important thing for our business. Every process done with quality in a simple way with a lot of discipline. In our retail pharmacy, the business, efficiency pay a good price for this. We know that if you do better, you have better sales, better customer service, and also you have a better profit. Ethics. Today in our country is a very important point and bring us a great competitive advantage. We are always working with very ethical because of a strong sense of ethics since the beginning of our companies. Innovations. Always think about how to serve the customer better and more efficient. Always asking in every process that you have is the best way to do it. We know how efficient innovation is important for the future to prepare the company for the challenge that you have in the future. Relationships of trust. A company that like people can only trust in people, but we trust more than people. We have really confidence of all the people in take care of our business. We know how important to take a manager to take care of a store of us in outside of São Paulo area. And good efficiency to take care of the numbers of the business. We love internally to celebrate together when the people grows and to become a manager. And the five values is long-term view. We know that it's important to act now to create value for the future, not only for us, but also for everybody. Then, we all finalize all the culture with our beliefs, our purpose, and values. We know it's important to change your brand, to change our name, brand name. Then we finally launch the RD, People, Health, and Well-Being. This new brand put together, the next slide, all the three different businesses that you have in your company. You have the pharmacist business with the brands, Raia, Drogazil, and Farmazil. We have the service business with Universe and 4Bio, and also we have the brand business, that's what all our private label brands with Need, Duel, Re-Entries. All these three different businesses will be the future for us, okay? But future is not only put a sign in the walls, it's not only talk about the future. Future needs to engage, to prepare the team for the press. So go to the next slide, I'll show you how we engage all the team and put the same in our purpose and our values with all the process that you have in the company with the customer in the heart, the customer in the center of the culture. This is very important for us. We are here to serve the customers. And we are working very, very close to this with all the team. In our last slide, we show how this works with us, to talk with people, talk to all the people to understand how important is the culture for our business. Okay, we are ready for the question. I'm here and present.
At this time, I would like to remind everyone, in order to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you'd like to withdraw your question, press the pound key. Our first question comes from Mr. Joseph Giordano from JP Morgan.
So hi, thanks for taking my question. I have a couple. The first one is on the expense side, probably the highlight of the quarter. We saw some dilution, particularly on selling expenses, as Eugenio flagged. So when we look over the next few quarters, as we cycle the efficiency initiative that we saw in the second half of last year and the first Q of this year, Should we expect a further reduction to those lines? That's my first question. The second one, it's related to the corporate culture. I recall back at the merger that it was a very challenging period for the company. So you had like to keep on running like a very aggressive expansion plan while changing things and integrating people that in the past used to be competitors. So I'd like to understand here, what's the major challenge from now on and probably like over the past few months to create like a corporate culture and engage all the employees here in the same direction? Thank you.
Joseph, thanks for the question. I think really the highlight of the quarter was expense management. There were several initiatives that we have been undertaking for 1 year, 1 year and a half, and now we see very happy that they're fructifying. I believe we expect to keep seeing dilution over the year. In labor, I think we were very, very lean in the quarter. I don't know if we'll stay in that same level, but still, I think we should be efficient, and we think we should see expense dilution going forward. I think expense dilution will be key, because we know that the gross margin will go down because of the inflationary gain on inventories that we saw last year based on a 12% price increase, and now we only have 3% price increase. So gross margin goes down. Especially in the next quarter, but as well as for the average of the year. So the key to closing the gap and to maintaining a good margin is expense dilution. We are very focused on that, and yes, we expect to keep on diluting in the next quarters. I think in terms of culture, I mean, we're coming from 5 years, and we're closing a cycle now. I think over this time, especially early on, it was the history of two companies coming together. As you know, initially it was very difficult, completely strong cultures, but very different. It took us a while to get the management team to work together well, to find the common ground and to start working as one, to integrate our systems. And I think the bulk of the integration was completed in 2014, but there were a couple loose ends that have taken even more than that to do it. So especially since 2015 and 16, we are in a completely different space. We are effectively one company, and this is what prompted us to investigate internally on the culture, on the identity, on the values. And we believe we have now a culture and an identity that is different either from Raya or from Drogasil. This is an identity that emerged naturally over these 5 years. And we believe this is so important and so defining that we're taking the trouble of changing the corporate name of the company. So the challenge now, so I think this new name, RD People Health and Well-being, I think it specifies what we are about. We have now a very inspiring and compelling purpose, which is taking close care of people's health and well-being at all times of their lives. And what we want to do is that every single individual who's working either on the stores or in the back office or whatever, that they know that everything they do serve a greater purpose. Everything they do is a small piece in taking close care of people's lives and well-being over their lives. So what we are doing now is we are diffusing this culture internally, and we don't want just only to be a cute logo or a statement in the wall, as Marcelo told. We want people to live by these ideas, live by these values, live by this culture, live by this purpose. And we think we can engage people at a completely different level, and this can be a huge competitive advantage for us.
And this is a journey. It's not only starts just next month. It'll be for the next years for us, okay? You have to be a strong future for the next 100 years, like the both companies that founded our business.
Perfect. Thank you, Eugenio.
Great. Thanks, Joseph.
As a reminder, as to ask a question, please press star 1. One more time, to ask a question, please press star 1. It appears to be no further questions. Now, I'll turn the conference back to the company for their final remarks.
Well, thank you all for attending this conference call. This is the first quarter under the new corporate brand. And if anything, I mean, I think it has brought us luck. This has been a very good quarter for us. Very strong, I think very solid sales performance. Very strong expense control, translating both in a margin expansion. We're now entering the toughest part of a tough year, which is the second quarter. We have an impossible margin to beat, as you know. So our goal is to do the best we can here, so that overall in the year we can be close to last year's margin. So expense control is really the name of the game. I think we have an early signal of what we're doing, but definitely we expect to keep diluting through the whole year. I think another point I'd like to touch on is the organic growth. We keep growing in a very steady way. We opened a slightly bigger number of stores than we had opened second quarter last year. We already opened 215 stores over the last 12 months, and this pace is very important to do it well without stressing the organization. And the dilution in pre-operational expenses is a signal of that. Another thing is that the portfolio of stores we just opened has been remarkably. I don't remember if we have any mistakes in these initial stores. It's very, very solid numbers from day one. And this is really the basis for us to keep creating value over the long term. So the organic growth has been there for us, and I think it will be there for us for a very long period ahead. We're also working relentlessly on gaining efficiency, not only in expense control, but also in better servicing the customer. We're piloting new loyalty programs for Ryan Drogazil. We're on the verge of rolling out the new Drogazil store identity. We have been improving our platforms and including new functionalities. So this is we're doing what it takes to keep driving this company with value creation for a longer term. I think culture is now a big agenda for us. As I was mentioning, we have a very strong culture. We now have a very compelling purpose, and our challenge is to contaminate people with this purpose and increasing the job significance of our people. I mean, they're not part of doing a clerical job at the back office or just selling a product at the store. They're part of something much bigger, which is taking close care of people's health and well-being at all times of their lives. So I think this is a big agenda for us. This is a journey, but if we're successful, this is another pillar of value creation for the future. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our this conference call is finished. You may disconnect your lines at this time and have a nice day.